You're listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. This podcast is modeled on the improv form La Ronde, so the guest of our last episode becomes the host of this episode, and today's guest will become the host of our next episode. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to the Long Form Conversations podcast from New York City. I'm James Dwyer. I was the guest on a previous episode, but today I'm back as your host for another round of our ongoing La Ronde. Today my guest is Nicole Pasquale, who improv fans might know from Lloyd Knight on the team Zaddy. You can catch her on Wednesday nights on Lloyd Knight. You might also know her as one of the hosts of Woke as Fuck, a variety show at UCB East. Mm-hmm. As she was also one of the former hosts of The Kaleidoscope, an extremely long-running show at this point at the Creek in the Cave Monday nights.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. As long as there's been improv, there's been The Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, for sure. Del Close and The Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, well, that's a thing. Okay, well, we won't get into Del Close's history at The Kaleidoscope.
No.
But Nicole, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Nicole, did I say your last name wrong?
Did you say Pasquale?
Yeah.
You know, you said it right.
Oh,
thank you.
Sorry.
Am I saying Dwyer right?
No one's ever said it right. That's incorrect. I don't think anyone's ever said it wrong. But yeah, Dwyer, you're saying it right.
Great.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm hyped to talk some prov.
Dang.
Talk some shop.
Heck yes.
Yeah.
Let's get dirty with the prov stuff, you know?
Nasty.
Yeah, I'm ready to get nasty down deep in the prov. So, you know, Nicole, let's start. Let's talk. Let's talk shop. Let's talk about you, your improv life, your
My
history.
Improv.
How'd you get started? When'd you get started?
Well,
why'd you get started?
Yes. I was born as an improv baby in high school where
I thought you were going to say it came out of the womb straight for prov.
Straight for prov, yeah. Yes. March 8th, 1986. No, but in high school I had took acting, and it was taught by my choir teacher, the high school choir teacher, and she didn't really bless her, but she didn't really know too much about acting, so she would watch Whose Line Is It Anyways, write down the games, and we would do it the next day, and I would know because we were all watching. Everyone was watching Whose Line Is It Anyways, where I was from in Alaska, and we would just be doing those same games, and I did that for like, you know, a year in my senior year in high school, and then I liked it.
Did anyone ever call her out on the Whose Line steal?
No. I think we were just like egging her on too. Mm. And we also egged her on for our finals to just be movie monologues. So I would just do like Chris Farley and Gollum and whatever I thought was funny. We had so much freedom.
Yeah. So it was basically your movie monologues were just impressions.
Yeah, totally. Or just being me being like, what was the funniest Chris Farley thing this year? And I'll do it and I'll be even funnier.
So like, what eventually brought you to New York?
Yeah, I went to an acting conservatory called AMDA, American Musical Dramatic Academy. Mm-hmm. They pump out a lot of actors, a lot of musical theater dancers. they really do. And we had improv class, you know, improv tailored for acting and theater. But it was my strongest suit for sure. And we would do really cool stuff like we would do exercises where like you would get like a picture from like a magazine and we would have to start in that same pose in the magazine and then a scene would just have to start. No suggestion. And it would be like very acting improv, like start with the physicality and then let it build an emotion and go from there.
Oh, my God. I'm obsessed with this.
I know. It was great. I actually think I want to apply for an improv teaching job there because I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go back and teach those little young whippets, you know, straight from their musical theater camp on to AMDA. But no, we did that. And then I was working at selling Disney merchandise at Broadway shows. Mm-hmm. And everyone there was actors, and all the bartenders at all those theaters are like actors and stuff like that. And they were all like, you should do UCB classes. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2007. And then I took my first UCB class.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Awesome. So who was your first teacher?
Ari Vakitas. Okay. Am I saying that right?
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay, great. Yeah, I had Ari, and he had fantastic energy. He loved improv.
Yeah, I had Betsy myself. They were the 101 duo, I feel like, that
totally.
A lot of people had.
They were the coolest.
Yeah.
They are the coolest.
They are.
I just don't see them.
You say it like they're dead.
Yeah, I know. But if you're in L.A., you're dead to me. So.
Yeah. Once you go to L.A., rest in peace.
Yeah, bye. But yeah, I had him, and then in 2007, and then in 2000, I took a year because I was young and poor, and it takes me another year to save up that money. I took 201, and that was way frustrating for me, and I didn't like know my own voice. I wasn't confident enough in my own voice, and I wasn't really feeling super welcomed. I don't know, as like a young 20s like Asian American person, I just didn't find my place, and I wasn't, yeah, so I just like did that class, and then I didn't come back till 2011.
Mm. When you came back, did you start over?
I did 201 again without looking at the paperwork if I needed to do it. I just was like, I bet I should just do this again. Mm. And apparently the curriculum had changed with how 201 was taught. At least that's like what like one teacher told me. Mm-hmm. And I did find it easier. I think 201, again, for me, it was just so heady. I just couldn't. It was just too frustrating. I'm like, why am I paying hundreds of dollars for this not fun class anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem that a lot of people. I mean, I was so in my head into it when I thought I was garbage.
Yeah.
So common. But yeah, mm-hmm. So real.
So real. But I came back, and yeah. And then in 2011, I hit the ground running, and I didn't look back.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So if you had to put a number on how many classes you took. How many is it? Do you know?
I do know. I think it's 25.
Oh my God.
But I did sketch too.
Okay.
I did all the sketch. I actually finished the sketch program before I finished the improv program.
Okay.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was an intern forever.
Okay.
I was an intern for 3 years.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Get them free credits.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Wow. 25 classes is wild.
I know.
Congrats.
I mean, I think, you know yeah. what? Thank you. I win for most classes.
That's the thing. You do win.
Yeah.
I mean, but a lot of people, like, especially if they interned or worked at the theater or if they just were like, I'm thrown down. I love this stuff. A lot of people took a ton of classes.
Yeah. I mean, when I thought about coming in today for this podcast, I was just like, God, I like really ate this stuff up. I mean, I still mm-hmm. do. I mean, I'm kind of a little bit more spread out now and more even, but like, I mean, we all were. Like, there's a time that I think for like a year or two, you're like obsessed. Like, I was listening to this podcast all the time. I was reading all the books. I took a 2-week immersion class at Second City in Chicago in 2011. I mean, I could not. I was improv nerding.
Wait,
everywhere.
You got to tell us about this immersion.
Yeah.
What makes it immersion? What?
I did it.
Do you go into a place and it's like, okay, we're going to be improvising the whole time?
Yeah, pretty. I mean, okay, so I did 2 weeks at Second City in Chicago, and it was kind of like my Eat, Pray, Love vacation at the time. I was going through a breakup. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a lot, but I was like, fuck Bali. I'm going to Chicago.
Yeah. A lot. It's a lot of people's second choice for their Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah, I had a lot of hot dogs.
Very Eat, Pray, Love of you.
Yeah, for
very.
Sure.
Very.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but no, I had improv in the morning from mm-hmm. like, I don't know, 10 to 1. And then we had lunch. And then I had sketch in the afternoon. And we did it the Second City way, where like sketch comes from improv ideas from like the morning.
Right.
And that was like when I had like my first bite of musical improv, where one of the teachers there doesn't like when he doesn't like gender swapping. So if you were a female, you had only play female, and if you were a male, you had only play male. I know. But
well, there can be good reasons for that.
Yeah, I think he was just like. It was like level one, so he just wanted.
He knows it's going to be bad.
Yeah. So yeah, and he was like, you know, he's been doing it a long time. He was like one of those like compass play. I don't know.
Oh
like,
wow! Yeah.
Yeah. So he's really great, actually. Yeah. But yeah, besides that, you know, I did that stuff there, and it was like really cool to get like a different philosophy. And I was going to like IO every night. Again, I was like. Mm-hmm.
True nerd.
I was nerding it up. I would like linger around. Not linger. That sounds so creepy. But I would just.
loiter.
Just hang around. I mean, I was traveling.
Hide and wait.
Yeah, with my hot dog in the corner, yeah. Waiting for TJ
and
Dave.
Find a shadow that you can hide in. Leap out.
Yeah, totally. But everyone was so nice in Chicago. Mm. Like, I talked to the improvised Shakespeare people, and I talked to, like, Sharna, and, like, you know, it was cool. And then I, like, used that stuff to come back all rejuvenated, thinking I was, like, a little, you know, like, improv little, like, person who went on their pilgrimage, ready to come back with my wealth.
Yeah. Did you spread the wealth?
Did I spread the wealth? I was like,
how long did that wealth last? How long was that high?
Not long at all. No one gives a ffuck that you had an extra $1,000 to go to Chicago and eat it up.
That's terrible.
I know.
You should have been able to ride that high for a year.
I know. But I was like really big on to like, because I at that time already, my indie team, Day Camp Kids, mm-hmm. Which was like my big team mm-hmm. before like Lloyd and stuff, the one that I stuck around with for like 3.5 years, which is like forever.
That's like an old dog in the indie scene.
Yeah, it was a relationship. We hosted a show at the Pit 2 Saturdays a month, and we were doing that when I was still in 201. Like we were hosting show some people would say way before, you know, way sooner than you should.
Should, yeah.
But I don't know.
Wait, I got to ask some questions.
Yeah.
Were you the person on your indie team who would send long emails about the prov? Because I formerly was that person. And I'm always curious about this. Or did you have a person who did that?
No, we didn't have the emails.
Oh, I'm the nightmare.
No,
okay.
No. You alone are the nightmare. No, but I would do that at practice. Like,
gotcha.
Everyone was like very cool. Like, a lot of people on our team were doing different, like, kind of other performance stuff, like stand up or like real like Shakespeare acting and stuff. And I would come in. I'd be like, "Have you listened to the new episode of the UCB Long Form Pod?" And this is when John and Will were doing it.
Right.
And I would just be like, they were talking about how, you know, you go back to the environment, and everyone would just be like, "Hey, I just asked you how your day was. Chill the fuck out."
That's great. I love that. It sounds like it was a fun time.
It was a really rocking time. For me, it works better to think that I could do something even if I can't.
Yeah.
You know, like, so we were hosting a show, like, pretty, really early on, but I needed that. I needed to just throw myself in and think that I could do anything.
You learn so much, though, too. Mm-hmm. Anytime you just do something and you're not, you should always not be ready. You know what I mean? The first time you're, like, diving into something like that.
Yeah. There's a quote that's on my wall that I can't believe I still can't quote quite well because it's on my wall. But it's about how committing to something is so liberating and so freeing because you just like you just decided to do it so you don't have to think about it anymore. So, I mean, that's what I did with improv. I was like, I'm going to do this hard.
Right. You don't find yourself weighing it anymore. It's like, well, I do it.
Yeah, this is what I do.
Right.
I own it. I'm so walking on the streets. My jacket is on my shoulders, but not on me.
Yeah. And really? Like, that's an important part of it.
Yeah. I would do that strut between the training center to Chelsea just like that.
Yeah, I saw you do that strut a few times. You make eye contact with nobody. Everybody's stopping the street. You're like, whoa. That person's walking with power. Yeah.
If we just want to make this episode about my strut between the training center to the Chelsea Theater.
That's my next question. Okay. Let's talk about the strut.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Turns out I wasn't serious. So your indie, I'll say, having that indie team that like sticks around a while makes it kind of your core thing. It sort of attaches you to improv in a way, and it makes you feel like you belong, even though, you know, let's be real, like a place like any theater, it's hard to feel like you belong sometimes, even though everyone does, you know, because you don't feel that way until you get on a team or something. But having that team where you do your thing and it's your thing every month or every week or whatever, I don't know. You want to talk about more of that?
Yeah, no, yeah. Totally. I highly recommend it. If you're doing this, like, I mean, I know, like, I've had really great experiences in, like, these one-off workshops or, like, these, like, drop-in classes that people organize. It would bless them. But having an indie team that, like, you're working on attacking certain forms, attacking certain, like, themes and ideas, going to festivals together, trying this stuff out, day camp kids would go to. We did North Carolina twice, Charleston. We like submitted for jobs together. Like we like one time we're paid in like Thai food to test out a video game for like this video game. We should have got paid more now that I think about it.
I think you should have got money, maybe.
Dang. But it was a fun crew. Actually, that was like, so I'm just going to name the people on this team because I want to name drop because they're really great. On that team originally was like Charlotte Lauriston, Ileana Inocencio, Monique Moses, and this guy Rob who's in England now, and he like left pretty early. And then who replaced him was Keaton Patty.
Oh, wow. That's a great
team. Alex Haynes, who's like he's like an off-Broadway actor.
Yeah.
So he's a good friend of mine.
Brag.
Brag, brag, brag. But I just want to say, like, it was so, like, if you know these people around the community, like, I mean, Monique Moses and Keaton Patty are on a team together right now. But, like, before, like, when they, you know, when they were on, when this was their first team, like, these, like, very different players are, like, and just, like, working with them. And then Charlotte was, like, this, like, Haitian-American, like, stand-up comedian. Yeah. And it was just really cool. And we would rehearse in a free space that we had through Monique's boyfriend in Chinatown, and we would just every Sunday get dumplings and be coached by Oscar Montoya.
Great.
And yeah, and usually he'd show up late, bus him. So we would have like a dumpling dinner every Sunday while we waited for Oscar to get
That's
there.
So funny.
Yeah, it was cool though.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, those I don't know, but I find those experiences can shape your improv so much. Just the team where you bond really well and you like sort of like the idea of missing a practice becomes like, oh, no.
Oh my God.
That feeling of like I can't miss practice.
Yeah, you did not want to miss practice. And like we were doing we had two forms that we attacked for I think at first it was the Spokane, and I want to say that this was kind of like Amy and all of them were doing it, Amy Goldrick and stuff at Nut, but I think for a while it kind of dropped, and I think we'd started doing it.
Yeah.
Now a lot of people do it because it's a great easy form to do, and balances that like that acting side with the like the fun tags of improv. But we had like a specific way of doing it that I still coach, and that was like really fun for us to like.
Wait, what's the specific way?
Oh, like we would all our source scenes would always be like sitting down, and we just like came up with rules like you would hold for like the first 2-3 minutes. We just had like very rules that we would play, and like generally if it was all sitting down, like we could have everyone in it.
Gotcha.
And then the spokes were very very physical.
Mm. Nice. That's
yeah.
Fun.
And then we had another form that we had was like silent openings.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's that look
just
like?
We would ask for a year as a suggestion, and then we would just do like some kind of silent opening scene. And after a while, it became a lot of like one-upmanship because a lot of silent scenes becomes like you're braiding hair, and then I'm going to braid hair better. And then it just becomes that. But it was fun to do.
Yeah.
You know?
That could get so weird. I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's, we're talking about your indie teams.
Yeah.
So when did you get on Lloyd? What was your experience in general auditioning for Lloyd and Harold?
So I'm one of those people that in general, it takes me forever to get anything.
Right.
So again, I took 25 classes. I took 401 three times. Shout out to you guys in your second, third 401 right now.
Yeah.
Quick shout out. I auditioned, including like invites and stuff, 5 times.
Yeah.
And then I got on in, we're in 2018, 2016.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so.
That's 5 years of pounding it hard.
Yeah.
You know?
That's some serious stuff. What would you say there were any lows where you're like, I'm not going to keep doing this?
I do know that when I got on, I did not care that much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I loved improv, but the anxiety of it was not of the auditions. I was just like, I've done this, like, and I just, it was so much easier for me that way to just not care.
That seems to be a thing. The people who are the least anxious about it or seem to like they're at the point of like throwing it away almost.
Yeah. And when I say I don't care, it wasn't like I wasn't practicing or I wasn't like still doing this. I was like in an ASB. I was still doing classes. And I'm not saying that doing classes means that you care, but like, no. I just knew that I will continue doing improv or doing what I love, even if I don't get this.
Yeah, it's like it's out of your control too. Mm-hmm. All you can do is go in and try to do what you do all the time, but not put so much weight on yourself. And
yeah,
improvise as freely as you would love to in any other situation.
Yeah, I also was probably lucky because I was hosting Kaleidoscope at the time, and I was. Yeah. In like a couple good, I was in some good ASPs, so I was getting my,
dirty in the prop.
Yeah. I was knee deep in it, you know?
You know it. You're walking around in your galoshes.
Yeah, just strutting.
Strutting in the prop. Well, Kaleidoscope in general, just to backtrack a bit, I feel like there's almost a history of once you become a host of Kaleidoscope, you join a house team shortly after.
Ooh,
is that a broken history? Did I ruin it for you? Know what I mean?
Yeah. So it actually is. They're kind of when you do become a Kaleidoscope host, you kind of do get that pressure, and like some former host and I have talked about it. There's been people that did I step away? Or did I get on? I stepped away before I got on a team.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so a team, and I was the longest host. So I was 16, I think I was the longest host. I was 16 months. Most people don't do it longer than a year.
Wow. Did you feel weird about that?
No, I mean,
it's a lot of work to organize, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was having a good time, but I think after 16 months, I was like, just ready to like use that time into something else.
Yeah. And just real quick for those who aren't clear, Kaleidoscope is.
Oh, Kaleidoscope is a really popular, really popular.
Kaleidoscope is a dang popular show that I hosted for 16 months. Yeah. Everybody loved it.
I made it a thing. No, it was created by Alan Starzynski, and it's at the Creek in the Cave, which is in Long Island City, but it has like a really fun audience, mostly because it's four teams. So
yeah, it's just so fun.
It's so fun. Like, I think I used to get so excited about being asked to do Kaleidoscope. So it's like off the Armando Azcat style of like you have a monologist and then you have these mashup teams that are captained and they improvise off the monologues. So it's fun for the monologist. It's fun for the captains. It's fun for the host who gets to have a team every week. And everyone gets excited because there's these cheap ass drinks there. And there's like some decent, there's some decent food there. No, I like some stuff.
Some of it I like.
Yeah.
I love the creek in general. I'm glad it exists.
Yeah, I love this. Like, I love having a homey place like that in the community where, like, we all know we can get like some veggie chilies and chips, and have a drink and have some fun.
Yeah, that place, especially early on when they first started doing improv there, it was such an important place for improvisers and comedians, and still is.
Yeah, I mean, doing Kaleidoscope is probably one. I mean, it's something. It gave me so much. It actually, like, I got to pick playing with like the best people around, and like, it would be like I actually got an agent from it. I'm not gonna try to like that's not very improv-y.
Okay, guys, so here is how you get repped.
Your indie host shows.
Host Kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
Make it big. That is wild. If that was your takeaway too, if you're like. The best part of hosting Kaleidoscope is it got me repped.
But I was.
I love that.
Mine is about the strut and biz tips. Okay.
We get some serious div status.
Yeah. I'm being really hot right now. that was I was hosting a 420 themed Kaleidoscope, and some rep came.
Wow, on 420.
Yeah, and
that is hilarious.
I don't need to go into details, as you can imagine what I was like at this show, but I just think I was passionate about it. I was really passionate about the themes and like the people I would pick, and like I really got excited about playing with new people and like veterans I admire, and like and also there was one more thing. Oh, and I like got comfortable hosting and kind of also speaking alone.
Yeah.
I know that's like kind of, as an improviser, I think we get some of us are a little scared of solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that solo stuff could really help you out as an improviser too.
Oh, yeah. Just like ups your performance quality, ups your courage.
Yeah.
That's great.
Totally.
Awesome. So your Lloyd teams.
Yeah.
If we go through the list.
Okay. So I was on Blush and now I'm on Zaddy. So I got that. It's a short list.
Yes. okay.
But.
Great. It's still a list. Only one thing is required even for a list.
Let's right. So, yeah.
Anything's a list if you want it to be.
Yeah. I've loved playing on both teams. They're so different. I don't know why. Of course, like every team would be different, but I never realized how different each team you play on is so different.
Let's do this. What would be, if you had to go back and look at Blush, what would you say the thesis statement after all was said and done was of Blush? The mission statement.
Just an insane amount of love in every set.
Great.
Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you just enjoyed playing with each other so much.
So much that sometimes it would just explode in our faces, and sometimes it would just be magical and all the stars align, you know?
That's great. And what about Zaddy? What would you say the mission statement or the all-encompassing sentence that describes Zaddy is?
This is
so on the spot. It's wild.
What is Zaddy?
It's actually so cruel to do this to you.
I don't know if it's just because of the name of Zaddy, but Zaddy is just like that smooth, has some smoothness. It has like some more of the veteran people of like Loy Knight.
Just dripping with smooth.
It just has like a lot of like smart players who are making some really smart moves, and I'm just keeping up, you know.
Right, that's great. And Zaddy, you guys are reaching your year mark.
Mm-hmm.
How's everyone feel? That's a real question. What's the general sentiment on without being like, you know, whatever? Some people can be more cynical than others and whatnot. What does it feel like knowing this team's going to end?
It's a bummer, but I think like as you get more, you do this more, like it's just a part of the process.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just like, you know, make the most of what we have, you know. It's kind of like it's like a long summer camp, you know. I mean, I've never went to sleepaway camp, so, but this is what I imagine what it's like. And you know, we actually like, cuz we kept on teammates kept leaving and like moving up to Herald and stuff, and we get new people, so now we've gotten used to our new people now, and we're really finding our stride. We just had like we've had a few like really good shows lately. Awesome. And it's so it's like now we're just like, okay, well, we got like a couple months to just really you know, have some fun, and let's, you know, let's give them some memories.
Do you guys have a regular coach right now?
We've had Kelsey Bailey.
Wonderful.
Yeah, the entire time, and it's fun.
Yeah, that's great. Question for you. Have you, what were like some big moments for you in improv, bad or good, besides getting on teams? But like, did you have like aha moments ever?
Totally.
You know, do you remember them?
Because
I know I'm bad with remembering details of things like that. I just remember the feeling.
Yeah. I have the same handful of ones that I definitely remember. And then some things I never remember. Like, you know, obviously, like most people. But, I had my aha moment of, like, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
And this is what it should feel like. And this is what I want it to always feel like.
Yeah.
Is this the improvised play. I did one of those, and it's great. And it's taught by Brandon Gardner. And whenever you see that class, like, you little actors, just get in there.
Yeah.
Or if you're not even a little actor improviser,
challenge yourself and do something cool and committed. And,
it's really great. We had one show, and this is such a big moment that this show it's recorded. So I have it on my website at the very bottom of my videos, because I know why would I ever have a video of my improv, but it's out there and the quality's okay.
Yeah.
And it was a really great show that had like Alex Song and Sebastian and Betsy Kenny and Pat Regan and, just like a whole bunch of other like killer people to do this kind of form with. And me and Alex did this scene where we were orphans who wanted to be adopted. And I really wanted to be adopted, and she wanted to be a farmer.
Mm.
And it was just this magical scene that we were that started with me like playing like patty cake by myself or something. And we were just, the listening and reaction was so good. And she's just a very patient player to play with. And it, like, I had this we were just so in it. I remember feeling like the desperation of like these kids that wanted to be adopted so bad, and because we had like a terrible matron character. This was basically that one show, Annie. Yeah, we were just doing that. But if I had that feeling of like, this is how it should feel, and I just knew that, I don't know, it just aligned. It was so easy.
That's amazing. Yeah, that, I was going to also ask if you had any shows that stood out for you, but that sounds like that's the
that
show.
I mean, it's the only
the
one. That's the one because it's on my website. No, there were some other good ones. I mean, like the ASPs, I mean, you get into a good one.
Then when you get into one where it just clicks, it's great.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, yeah, the breakup had like that with Nicole Dressbill. That was really great. Some indie shows that have really been like awesome.
There's a question I want to ask. You coach, right?
Yeah.
So as a coach, as a sort of philosopher of improv, what would you say? So I'm going to ask a couple questions about this. What do you think is a major pitfall that you see all the time of people's prop, like a thing that they get hung up on, or like how often do you think you coach on average?
Well, I direct a monthly sketch team that takes up a lot
nights. Yeah, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, so that takes about 8-9 nights of my
So you don't you coach a little bit here?
I coach like once, twice a week.
Gotcha.
Like generally once.
That's a lot though.
Yeah.
That's
right
enough
now
to like see patterns. You know?
For sure. And I used to coach a like supernova team and all this other stuff. But yeah,
a bad habit you see a lot of.
Yeah, totally.
And not in a way of like an indictment of the community. It's more like, oh, I'm noticing this, you know?
Everyone is still playing detached in their practices.
This drives me nuts. Yes. I've been talking a lot about this.
It's just because it's practice doesn't mean, you know.
Well, you just see it in the shows, though, too.
Yeah, because if you're practicing like this, it's going to show up in your shows. I know, like, we all want to laugh and have fun. Like, I break all the time.
Right.
But
that's not detached. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some improvisers can just walk on a stage and I'll start laughing because I'm just too excited about what they're going to do. I just think that will just everything that they're doing, all the choices that they're making, all the work that they're doing, all that the money that they're putting into this room and this coach, everything will get better if you just commit 100% to what you're doing.
If you're playing a character who's sad, don't tell me you're sad. Show me you're sad and be it. Like, it's just little things where it's like, you just have to also be an actor.
Yeah. And, like, sometimes I'm like, I get it. We're, like, rehearsing in someone's apartment or, like, we're in the kitchen of an office.
Yeah.
You know,
but if every practice is that, how you've not practiced doing good stuff for your show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That's real as hell.
That's across the board. That's, like, advanced people to babies.
Yeah, I mean, to people who are on house teams, like, you just see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Detachment seems to be a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Well, we'll fix it.
I got it.
And what about, do you have a particular philosophy or things that you love as a coach or teacher?
You know.
Things that you're big on.
Things I'm big on. I just love anything that just feels different. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but like,
doesn't feel like a typical improv scene.
Yeah, totally. Just like, or even if like the set starts with the typical improv scene, like in a restaurant or whatever, like let's have the next one just be way in a different world. I don't know.
So you're thinking about the show as a whole.
Yeah. Think about the show as a whole. Remember that even if you're doing a montage wherever, you know, at Kaleidoscope and stuff, like, still think about that. Like, get the world all together. I mean, I feel like I'm about to list, like, a bag of tricks or, like, a bag of, like, little specific things that I love.
I absolutely have these little things, too.
Yeah. So. I love scenes that start silently. I love physical scenes. I love just totally like committing to a genre and not judging it. Like I feel like sometimes like people will start singing in a scene and I'm like, oh, cool, bold choice. But then like you could feel the doubt and the hesitation. And I just love it when they rock it, you know?
Yeah.
What else? Good. You know, good animal work.
You love good animal work?
Good animal work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Vince is the
best.
Yeah,
I was going to say, we're only talking about Vince Moore at that point.
Yeah. And also just like when I can see people's specific point of view in life and in their comedy, like, come through in a way that's not forced, but when it feels like I'm just when I this sounds so pretentious, but this is the podcast for it. I wish that we kind of took ourselves, like, more seriously as artists. I know, like, we all, like, you know, we drink, like, a beer and stuff, and we're all goofing and stuff. But if we just, like, did it like an art and, like, really felt that way, I think the shows will be real nice.
I so agree with that. Yeah. I think there's no more artistry to it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Not, God, it's such a broad sweeping statement. I don't really believe that. There's people doing stuff, you know? Yeah. But if we treated it that way and respected it that way to start, good Lord, it would be 10 times better. And it's good now, but I can't even imagine.
Yeah. So just like, totally even agree. If you're performing in like a beer puddle, which I have done, we've all done it.
We've all been in the beer puddle.
I actually one time did an indie show downtown on like off Houston, one of those, that place that had the sparkly wall.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I fell on the floor to like do whatever it needed to be done in the scene. And I was in straight up in a full beer puddle.
Oh my God.
But you have to still be an artist at that moment. Okay. Yep. That's what I'm telling you guys.
Right. Yeah. Please commit to the puddle.
no.
Amazing.
Fuck that.
Yeah, no, guys. When you fall in the beer puddle, get the hell out of that space.
Don't drown in it.
No. Oh, God. I'm trying to remember the name of that space. Something Lounge? No.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Truly, it doesn't. It was not a good place.
There's going to be a million lounges.
So, real quick, we were talking about, you know, philosophies on teaching and commitment and all that stuff. Is there anything that you... What's one thing... Okay, besides... Detachment, obviously, it's an issue. What is like a trope of long form improv in 2018 that you think we can do without? And it's not a casting aspersions against those who see it. It's just like, I just see it all the time, and it's not for me.
This is specifically not for me, but I think that it has room in this world. It's just like I'm not the most, like, tag-happy person. Like, I love tagging and stuff, but sometimes I'm like, man, I just, I don't know. I was like, I just think that was too quick. I just thought, you know, you as an audience member, you just got me emotionally, like, connected to this scene and stuff. And again, I know that there's a world for, like, a very tag-happy show, and I know the certain shows that, you know, especially if it's, like, 11:30 at night, maybe we should get it going. But... I would just say, personally for me, I think we could just think about why you're tagging and just think about, like, why you're going to take this to a new scene, you know?
Cool.
I think sometimes tags are too fast.
Gotcha.
That's it.
You think tag? Okay, great.
But maybe I'm just slow. I also, my nickname in elementary school was Grandma, so.
Oh,
so,
no. Okay.
So that's coming from me. I smoke a lot of weed, too, so.
What about
everyone's too fast for me?
Yeah, you're just like high as hell on the back line. Another question. I don't know that this will be released before this is over, but with Lloyd auditions being a thing in the atmosphere at UCB in New York right now, they'll be going on for the entire month of February this year. Do you have any general advice to people auditioning?
It's so hard because I know...
it's so specific to you and your feelings, and everyone has their own feelings, and sometimes you don't want to hear people's advice, you know?
Yeah. I just feel... Because I know I'm like the 1,000th person to say this, but like, you know, we're all doing this because it's supposed to be fun. I literally say this every time I coach, especially when it's, you know, getting really frustrating in the room, and like, I'm just like, hey, you guys chose to be here. Think about this like when you choose to go out dancing, right? You chose to be here, so let's really have some fun and rock it out. And like, so I think just remember, like, even though as stressful as it is to have all the people you admire behind a table judging you and stuff, know that they're there to have fun as much. You know, I know that's what they're thinking. I'm here to have fun today.
Saturday morning. Wow, today's gonna be wacky as hell.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch a bunch of auditions. It's gonna be great. Just like. It will feel, no one wants to see anyone like super nervous or uncomfortable or scared. And like, and we all know that you don't want to be either. So just do what you can. Like, if you need to like go to yoga and have like a peppermint tea, just do everything you can to put yourself at a nice, calm, fun place to be on that day.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is a thing. It's
Self-care, man.
Self-care. Yeah. Do whatever you can to feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so real.
It helps a lot. I think I did go to yoga before.
Really?
So secret, go to yoga before.
Wow, before the one that you got on?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we figured it out.
Hot take.
Yeah, so here's the thing, guys. You don't go to yoga before your audition. Good freaking luck.
You're fucked.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so are there any other general improv thought? Here's a question I have for you. Have you ever sat on like a weird idea for improv that like it's barely maybe a half idea, like a form or a show that you'd love to do? And now without us, the world stealing your idea, I suppose. Are there things you want to see people try with improv? Or what are your hopes for improv in 2018, 2019? Do you have improv dreams? You
know, like, do I have improv?
What a weird question. I'm just asking you like hypothetical, bizarre shit, I guess.
Yeah, do I have improv dreams? I mean,
what do you want for improv?
If I ever get the time, I mean, this is not like a new dream, but this is not, I don't know if this is quite what you're asking, but like, I would love to do like musical improv or like be like a really like, I don't know, like really get more comfortable with other creative, like be a better dancer, be a better singer.
Yeah, and then to maybe, enhance.
Yeah. So I'm actually like I am trying to do that kind of stuff this year, and hopefully it will seep its way into my performances, like just moving like better. I just love like, I don't know, just being like a very like loose movement player.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, that makes total sense. Movement is a thing that doesn't get talked about at all in improv.
Yeah.
And it's such like a hippy dippy like acting school type thing and dance thing. But I think it affects play on stage big time.
Yeah. I don't personally like trust my brain all the time. Mm-hmm. And I should get better at that. I'm working on it. But I do trust like my sort of like my heart and my body. Like I guess like that feels more comfortable for me. You know, I'll work within the rules of whatever, you know, whatever form we're doing, Harold's bouquet and whatever. And I'll do my best, but like what comes more naturally to me is just like thinking how of like a character would move and like how they would feel, and like I'm just much more hippy dippy with the stuff, like you said.
I have a dumb question now, and this is just another dumb hypothetical question.
Yeah.
If I don't know why I'm asking these questions. If UCB was gonna open a theater in another city, in anywhere, what would be the one that you would be excited to go and maybe even be like, maybe I'll just move there and perform for a little while if you're going to like change the whole course of your life?
Oh my God.
What would be a city that you would consider it for? It can't be LA, it can't be Chicago, it can't be New York.
Okay, got it. I mean, and this is just totally biased because I'm Thai American, is that I would take it to Thailand. I would go probably Bangkok because it's the biggest city, but maybe like up north too.
Yeah.
I am fascinated about what comedy is like in different cultures and stuff. And I read all like the Will Hines stuff and what he did in China, because like they didn't have improv to look at.
Or there's no context.
Yeah. So
creating it from scratch out there, basically.
I think that would be so cool. And just to be like, what would this culture that like, you know, where like game shows are their form of comedy, how would that affect, I guess it's Whose Line.
It has to be Whose Line. Only maybe the points matter.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah, Bangkok, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, and like the people in Thailand, I'm biased because I'm Thai and stuff, but like they have like a very happy, friendly demeanor and they're very polite. So it'd be fun to get them to not be so polite and just get real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just really challenge them to ruin each other. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Great. Nicole, I think we are nearing the end here.
Thanks, James.
This has been really fun. Really great talking to you. Talking about a lot of weird bullshit.
Yeah,
talking
for
about
sure.
a lot of good bullshit.
Let's what city would you take it to?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I have no idea. If it was a place where I like considered like literally spending time there, and it's so lame and boring and basic, but I would probably like do Austin, Texas or something like that. Mm. Literally boring.
You know they have improv there, right?
Let's push them out. No, just kidding. I know it's like already oversaturated. But if we're just talking about a place where it'd be fun,
yeah,
That would be it, probably.
Cool. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Nicole, it's been great. Any last thoughts on improv you got to share? If this is your last chance.
Just think about why you're doing it, and if you're still cool with that, have some fun.
Awesome.
That's so.
Great. Thanks, Nicole. And that was a long-form conversation. Tune into the next episode when Nicole Pasquale will be your host. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one. Live your dang truth. This is James Dwyer.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.